League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello, friends, and welcome to the latest edition of the King's Anglia Pod. It is a Monday. It's a happy Monday. Maybe not too happy given the nature of the win at the weekend, but Town did win on Saturday. There's now two wins in a row. I'm your host, ever Mark Heath, and we're here to break it down today with two of the finest gentlemen you could ever hope to meet. One has a fine beard. The other has no hair on his head. I'm going to introduce Baldy first. Dr. Stuart Watson, how are you?
Still bald.
You can change that, you know. My hairdresser, who's had a hair transplant, you'd never know now. He's got a full head of hair, just like Mr. Norwood.
I think I've gone beyond that. I think we've discussed this before. That ship has sailed. I'm quite happy to own it.
I think it suits you anyway, mate. I've got to be honest. You're a good-looking man, and it just makes you look hard and kind of steely.
Good. I'm none of those things, but that's fine.
Excellent. And of course, your partner in crime, and was actually at Portman Road at the weekend, which we'll get onto shortly. Producer Ross, Rostradamus, hairy man, how are you?
I'm good. Just finally dried off after Saturday. Yeah. Very wet.
So we'll talk about the game, obviously, in a minute. But let's talk about your experience, Ross, because it's the first time this season they've let you in. Obviously owner of a very, very weak immune system. Any coincidence at all that you go back to Town game and then we all get locked down from Thursday? I think not. But yeah. What was the experience like, mate? I bet it was a bit weird, wasn't it?
Soulless.
Yeah.
Absolute soulless. You know, I've been to Portman Road 1,000 times, so it's not like a new stadium for me to go to. But I've done behind closed doors games at Portman Road before, like under 23s and under 18s and stuff. But to see the big dogs, you know, Luke Chambers and stuff warming up and stuff, thinking like no crowd. He actually, I don't know if you spot this, Stu, when he like runs out to do the warm up for the first time, he actually still claps like around the pitch.
Does he?
I think it's just maybe a superstition thing for him, or just a natural thing for him to do. Just claps, probably clapping at the cutouts properly.
I wonder if that's something he does just generally in life. He walks into the supermarket and starts clapping.
But no, yeah, it was a very weird experience. They've upped their game, the club, with terms of the music, the warm-up music. Soldier Boy hit, some absolute bangers hit during the warm-ups. So that got me going, it got the players going. I was watching some of the players dance to some of the music during their warm-ups.
Who's got the best moves?
You made me feel very old, Ross, when you put on Instagram that Soldier Boy was did you call it an absolute throwback or something?
Yeah.
To me, that feels like that was like last year to me. If that's now becoming an example of retro music, that's a concern.
That's like 2010, I think, that song, something like that.
I see Hutchie said they played Jump by Van Halen three times during the warm-ups.
Yeah.
Who's got the best moves, Roscoe? You said they're all dancing?
Kane Jackson put a bit of move, Toto as well. I'll say them two. Jack Lancaster as well. At half time, that's when it really, really pelted it down. And I got absolutely wet. And I captured Jack Lancaster do a swim.
That's right. Yeah. You put it online, didn't you?
Yeah. And I absolutely legged it to like the nearest like cover, which is nothing really. And that's where all like the photographers sort of just sat and just waited for the rain to stop. And luckily it did in the second half. But yeah, it was a weird experience. It made it worse because it rained a lot.
Yeah.
If it was the sunshine, I'd be loving it because I'd be getting a tan on and just enjoying the sunshine. And the game was a bit bad, so at least I'm not a bad omen. I was worrying that I was going to turn up my first game at Portman Road since March and we'll lose our first game at Portman Road.
Yeah.
But luckily, I'd also say Halloween would have jinxed it a little bit because we're terrible at playing on Halloween, because I don't think we've won many games on Halloween. So But yeah, strange.
There you go. Obviously, as you say, they won, Roscoe. Let's start talking about the game then, shall we? Stuart Watson, Ipswich Town won the second game in a row against kind of less illustrious opposition, shall we say. Obviously, beat Gillingham 1-0 in the game that you missed. I should have asked, of course, Stewie, how was your break? How was your holiday? Good of you to cover the games over the weekends, but how was the middle bit?
It was very nice, thank you. Yeah, it was good.
How many pasties did you eat down in Cornwall?
Two.
That's poor.
Well, 2 in 5 days isn't bad going, is it?
Cream tea as well?
Cream tea as well, yeah. Some clotted cream and jam on a scone, yeah.
Delicious. Anyway, so Town have won 2 in a row, Stewie. They beat Crewe 1-0 at the weekend. What, first of all, are your opening observations on the game?
I think both the managers have kind of summed it up, really, that Ipswich have won a game that, over the course of the 90 minutes, as judging it as a performance, they didn't deserve, certainly, to win the game. I don't think anyone would have argued if Crewe had won the game, but they found a way to grind it out, 1-0, clean sheet. And there will be times over the course of a season where you have to claim points that you don't necessarily deserve on the day, and it kind of raises a bigger picture of playing below par and still getting points. Is that the sign of a good side? That's quite often said about teams that go on to win promotions and titles. Or are we back to kind of papering over the cracks territory, and this might be a few little warning signs of what's to come? I think I'm probably just in the former camp at the moment. I didn't see the game on Tuesday. But yeah, I take positives from the clean sheet and the character shown to get the victory.
Obviously, Town struggled mightily in the first half and weren't much better by the sound of it in the second half. What for you was causing that poor play? Were Crewe just better than expected? I mean, I did a bit meet the opposition bit on Friday. And although they've obviously only just been promoted, and you think Crewe, sort of side that Town should be turning over relatively easily, they haven't been walked over by anyone this season. They've faced a lot of the top sides. They've actually beaten Doncaster away, and we all know what happened to Town at Doncaster. So was it a case of Crewe just being better, and maybe we should give them a lot of the credit, or were Town really kind of below par? And if so, what were the reasons for that, do you think, Stu?
Probably a mixture of both. The first thing I would say is, yeah, credit to Crewe. They're a decent team. They've won the division last year. That sort of positive momentum can never be underestimated. Bulk of that team has kind of played together and had that success together. So they look like a team that were on the same wavelength, that had a very defined way of playing. And they were impressive first half. And sometimes we get a bit sort of blinkered in terms of what your own team didn't do. And sometimes you have to hold your hands up and say they turned up, and they were. I'm sure there is an element of coming to Portman Road and playing Ipswich, even without fans there, that they want to sort of show that they can mix it with the likes of Ipswich at this level. And they played well. They passed and moved it well. I think allied to that, Ipswich were below par. I think the blend in midfield didn't help with sort of Judge and Bishop and ahead of Dizelle. That's a midfield that is lacking on a bit of tenacity and bite. And I think we've seen that a couple of times already this season. But, you know, short on options, really, at the moment, with no Downs, no Skews to call upon in that respect. And I just thought that meant, with Judge kind of goes everywhere looking for the ball, Bishop started dropping deep to try and make things happen. And that left a disconnect between the front three and the rest of the team, and you're kind of slipping back into that territory of a lone striker beginning to look a little bit isolated. You know, the ball's up to Hawkins. He wasn't able to make it stick. Even when he was winning flick-ons, there wasn't really anyone there to pick it up. So that those two things kind of conspired together to make for a one-sided first half, and Holy gets Ipswich out of jail twice with two point-blank saves. They get to half-time at 0-0, and thankfully, the second half was marginally better.
Just to pick you up on something there, Stu, obviously Crewe were runners-up in League 2 last season. Swindon won the title. I think you said they were champions.
Oh, but Was that after the points per game? I get muddled up with all of that. It got changed, didn't it?
They finished runners up, mate. Swindon won the league. Roscoe, you were league level. You were pitch level. What did you see from your perch? Could you see through the rain? What did you make of it all?
It was very, very dull. I thought the one game I come back for, and it's just a drab, goalless game in the first half. And I thought, the second half's not going to be any better, really. I thought Crewe were going to, I wouldn't say nick it, but I thought they were going to go and, you know, score a well-deserved goal, really, because they were the better side in the first half. And they're a very good young team. I know I'm bringing FIFA again into this, but I did a career mode with them last year.
Right.
I've got a lot of good young players. And I actually started following them in real life to see, you know, what they're about. And they've got some good young players in there, and they play some really good football. And I was speaking to Liam, good old Liam from Crewe, about Crewe, and he said, you know, they actually play some good football. But in terms of us, as Stu said, the midfield with Judge in there, and we couldn't create much, really. And I felt like Hawkins was a bit isolated during the game. He may, hold up the ball well enough. But Edwards, again, on the right, he's the top goal scorer. Why is he not playing on the left? You know, that's where he scored all of his goals. I know Sears has been doing okay, but sometimes I feel Lambert is just trying to fit Sears in just to start him. And what has Keenan Bennett's got to do to start? Because I think he's been very lively when he comes on. Of course, the rain didn't help, because it did. It was weird, the weather. It changed all the time. It was like torrential rain, then it stopped a little bit, then it spitted, and then just all over the place. And it was a bit windy as well. But Holy pretty much saved us in the first half. He made some very good saves. You could hear the players a lot. You know, you just hear Holy go, keep your shape, keep your shape. Chambers is just his, vocal self. And you hear the Irishmans of Ward and Judge in there. Normally I can hear them, because I'm on pitch side. But, you normally got the fans interaction. You normally got them, swearing at the ref and, swearing at players. At one stage, the referee said he was going up to a player saying, "I'm the governor here, I'm the governor." I thought, all right, ref. it's a little bit, okay. You've got confidence there, my friend, but I think
you
saying
need to, mate. You need to have confidence to be a ref.
Yeah.
Stewie, like Roscoe says there, were you surprised? I mean, obviously, we talked about selection last week, and I think everyone has said at different times that Bennett should maybe be given a chance as a starter. Were you surprised he was left on the bench again?
I think his time will come, and it's got to come fairly soon. I think the two wide men, that's where you're looking for your bit of X factor from in these sort of games. And I think Gwion Edwards is guilty of, I think because he's got the confidence of the goals behind him at the minute, he was a bit guilty of kind of head down, tunnel vision. Every time he got the ball, he had Chambers sort of telling him, go Gwi, take them on. And it seemed to be his game plan was just Edwards just run with it. And I don't know if he got his head up and he kind of ran into some dead ends a little bit. Sears, he's not convinced me for a little while, I have to be honest. In terms of when Freddie Sears gets the ball and he runs at a man, do I ever fully expect him to be able to go past someone, to dart past someone with a trick or without an out pace, beat his man one-on-one and then deliver a cross? It's not something that feels is there with Freddie Sears. You can't knock the effort, but I always kind of end up describing him as a bit hustle and bustle and back to kind of that left-sided player that he was under Mick McCarthy. So between the two of them on the flanks, I didn't really ever sense that there was going to be a threat coming from there. Hawkins a little isolated, as we said. Judge kind of goes wandering everywhere. Bishop was really the only one that I felt could do something, dance his way past someone and break the lines and create a bit of space. But for a few games now, I've not really sensed that Ipswich have been knocking down the door and had a real threat from open play, at least, which has to be a minor concern. But they kept it tight at the back. They scored a goal from a set piece, and sometimes that's what has to happen.
Yes, give me some positives, boys. Obviously, Hawkins finally got off the mark. They kept another clean sheet at home. It's 5 games, 5 wins at home so far, isn't it? So, Roscoe, I know it wasn't the best of games, but other than Holy, who obviously made some brilliant saves, give me some positives, Ross, that we can draw on ahead of Sunderland tomorrow.
We didn't lose. No, it's good to Hawkins, and you know that was a very clever, you know, short corner. At first, I thought Chambers scored because he was like celebrating more than Hawkins. I don't know. He must have winded himself because he wasn't really celebrating the goal. It was more like holding his ribs, and he just had Luke Chambers more celebrating.
Yeah.
Hopefully, yeah, many more to come for Hawkins. I think he will be. He's 6 foot, whatever he is, so he should be up there always in the corners. You know, our corners hadn't been that great, but now Dizel's taken over them, and hopefully he will whip more in, or maybe we got them short corners. Hopefully we're doing in training, we're doing them sort of set piece drills. And yeah, Dizel, I'm a big fan of Dizel, and I think he had a good game as well. So I think it's a different game going to Sunderland than normal, because you know normally they've got a packed house at Sunderland, so that'll be an interesting game behind closed doors at the Stadium of Light. So
Shuey, give us some positives. Roscoe said Dizel, obviously the win itself is a positive. How about Caden Jackson? How did he look when he came back?
Thought he looked lively when he came on. I thought he gave them definitely a different dynamic up front. Charged down someone on the blind side and blocked a defender trying to clear the ball immediately when he came on. His pace off the last shoulder on the counter attack is definitely a threat. So, great to see him back and looking so lively after his COVID break. Holy is obviously the big one. I think you kind of his place in the team was under scrutiny after the mistake against Doncaster. I don't think he'd had the most convincing start to the season prior to that. Had got away with a few flaps aerially for a man his size, and he did that early in this game as well. To be honest, when he made the save that kind of hit him. But after that, he responded really well, and the saves that he made, particularly the one in the first half, will give him a lot of confidence. I'd also say sort of McGuinness as well. I thought McGuinness, considering that's only his second senior game of men's football, I thought he looked good. He made some really big blocks and interceptions. So yeah, the clean sheet as a whole has to be the major plus point from the game.
Any other notes from the game before we move on? I want to talk more about how the season's going compared to last season. But have you got anything else to add, either of you, about the game before we move on?
No, I don't think so. Didn't play particularly well. Found a way to win the game. That's the tale of that one. And we move on and see what happens next.
Yeah, obviously we'll talk about Sunderland in due course. But let's look back now, because Town have played 10 games now, obviously second on goal difference, and ahead of the game at Sunderland tomorrow, which really is the kind of acid test, the litmus test, if you like, for Town to see how different, if at all, this team are this season to last. And I thought it'd be interesting to look back at Town this time last season after 10 games and we can have a little talk about where we see differences perhaps and any signs that this team might be better. So if you look back last season, it's eerily similar. Obviously, Town lost for the first time on the same date, exactly the same date this season. They lost two in a row. Then they bounced back by beating two kind of less than stellar teams, shall we say. And then obviously it started to go downhill from there. But this time last season, I've done my research, boys. After 10 games, same amount of wins, 7. They'd drawn more games last season. They'd drawn 3 as opposed to 1 this season. And obviously they were still unbeaten. They'd scored more goals. They scored 20 goals this time last season compared to 16 this season. And it's conceded fewer, 5 goals conceded compared to 7. And they also had 2 more points, 24 compared to 22. And obviously, they were top of the table. So then, Stewie, 10 games gone. It's a good time to kind of evaluate. I've got plenty of thoughts from the Curry Army I'm going to drop in. But you get us going. Is this team, do you feel, different, better than last season?
I don't know about better. I think that the settled system will help over the long run. I think the reason that the wheels started to fall off or the wobbles began last year is because it then became a case of chopping and changing and momentum was lost. So I'm hopeful that kind of on the days where it's not quite happening for Ipswich, that having that settled way of playing, you can look at it one or two ways. People are now sort of saying that it's gone too far the other way and that there needs to be a plan B on the occasions where Ipswich, it's not happening for them. But for me, just keep sticking with that way of playing. It provides a level of a level of familiarity with the players that they know what to do when things aren't happening. You know, you have certain patterns of play and they have to stick to that. So that's what gives me the hope that they can kind of ride out the tougher moments in this season.
Let's take some thoughts from the Carré Army. We've got lots of them. Dan Rosenblatt says they're not a better side, but they're set up better. We'll be top six, but I'm not sure if we're good enough to be top two. We need to do better against the more possession-focused sides like Doncaster, MK Dons, Crewe, who will move the ball much quicker. Ian says, great pod, guys. Cheers, Ian. Town aren't as flaky as last season, but I'm not convinced we'll finish any higher. We're too predictable with the ball, slow to get forward, and no real cutting edge. We need Jackson fighting fit as soon as possible. L. Balaam says, where have the forward passes gone? Since the first Doncaster goal, there seems to be a loss of confidence, and all too often the ball is going backwards. We're definitely a better team at this point last season, but whether we are good enough to go up is a different question. Jay Bolton, better and more balanced side than last season for sure. More concerning that Crewe, with inferior resource, completely outplayed Town and Lambert at their own game. There are far better coaches out there. And Sheepy says, Tuesday evening is the big test. Once we get some of our key players back from injury, we've got a great chance of continuing our form. Great pod, boys. The only reason I've decided to get social media is to get involved with the KOA Army chats. Wow, Sheepy, that's very nice indeed. Roscoe, what do you think then, compared to last? Last season, of course, we did the SWOT analysis when Town were sitting pretty at the top of the table. I think they were still unbeaten, along with Liverpool at the time. And I remember you saying they're not scoring enough goals, they're not creating enough chances, and that proved to be prophetic. So what do you reckon now, 10 games in this season compared to last? What are you saying?
You know, start of the season, we were creating more chances and scoring lots of goals. The 2-0 was the favourable one. We loved doing that.
Yeah.
It was 3 games in a row, 2-0, 2-0, 2-0, happy days. You know, we beat Blackpool 4-1, winning away games as well, which is good. Of course, it's the goals are sort of dried up recently. We're only winning 1-0 now, you know, back-to-back 1-0 wins. I'm enjoying watching a bit more. It's a different, you know, experience watching from home. But, you know, last season I felt there's just some games we'll just get wins. But I think we've been comfortable in some of these games. I agree with, you know, the K Army's been saying about, you know, a bit slow, a bit sluggish, definitely from the Doncaster game. I think that has dented our confidence a little bit, them two back-to-back defeats. So hopefully, you know, with these two wins, hopefully we've got a little bit more confidence there. You know, we've got a whole different sort of back four than, say, like last season. You know, we've got two young centre-halves in McGuinness and Wolfie. Is he a youngster anymore? I don't know. He's 21 now, isn't he? So
that's definitely young.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I know what you mean. He's kind of experienced, though. He's got more experience.
He's not youngster. Kind of...
Yeah.
You know, we ain't got Luke Garbutt scoring free kicks. And, you know, James Norwood and Kane Jackson's not firing us the goals this year. One thing I wanted us to do is all the team to score, our midfield to score. And Teddy Bishop is having one hell of a start to his season. Gueon is just doing Gueon stuff at the moment. Of course, I know he's on a goal drought at the moment. But yeah, he'll be back. He'll be back soon. But, yeah, definitely better than last season, but still very... You know, not getting too carried away because
it's just that feeling, isn't it? This time last season, it was obviously the HMS Pistol League. Everything was fine. Town were going to storm it and go up. And now, even though again they've started well and there's a lot more signs that they are a better team this season, you still kind of feel like it's all going to go tits up again, don't you? You've got that kind of nagging feeling. I think one of our columnists, Terry Hunt, the North Stander, wrote today that he can't shake this glass half empty sort of feeling, which obviously a result of Sunderland would go a big way towards alleviating. Let me take a few more thoughts from the KOA Army. FPL Tractor says, we're better, but I expect to slip up now the fixtures get tougher. Dave Gort says, I think it's a mental thing. We've had a good start, a settled formation style so far. We're seeing signs of stuttering performances in last season's style. Can they find the mental strength to turn it around to beat a top team in this league? Andrew says, I'm not convinced yet. A win on Tuesday will change that. Show we can beat the teams in and around the top. We'll show us fans that we've improved. Let's take a few more. Matt Thomas, friend of the show, says, same style, game on game is better. It's easier for small rotation, but sometimes plan B is needed. We were outclassed by an impressive crew and we luck to win. We have to go up this season. We haven't time for another false dawn. Contract endings and wage cap would kill us. Harvey Davis, another friend of the show, the Sweet Welsh Prince, says, we massively rode our luck at times and that can only go on for so long. Hopefully Hawkins can kick on, and having Jackson as an option from the bench is a big plus too. And just one more, ITFC, big John Watson, leader of the Northern Battalion Koei Army. I feel we're a better team in terms of steady formation, more consistent team selection, and we're doing pretty well without being spectacular. We've seen glimpses of being far more clinical and much better play, but I'm still not convinced the next game, next six games will show more. Stu, we've talked about it a couple of times, but I thought it was interesting something you put in your Stu says, 6 a.m. every Sunday. Make sure you read it. Again, about lack of fans, because obviously that's one big difference from last season. And again, you suggested after the first half against Crewe, if fans were in there, you may have started getting the murmurs of discontent and, you know, we should be beating sides like this, that kind of approach. It sounds strange to say, but given obviously fans aren't going to be back for a much while longer yet, is that actually kind of a plus point, do you think, at this stage of the season for Town, that they haven't got that kind of pressure?
I think so. I don't think it's a coincidence that they've won all five home games and kept clean sheets in all of them so far. You look at home form was one of... It didn't happen for Ipswich last year, and Paul Lambert kept talking about teams coming to Portman Road and raising their game and target on the backs. And I guess you could say, we've already said that Crewe did come to Portman Road and do that, regardless of fans not being there. But I think it helps Ipswich in terms of you get midway through a first half that's not going particularly well against a team that you are expected to win. And that the first sort of murmurs and moans and groans slip in over a pass or two that went out of touch. I think I can picture a moment in the first half where Alan Judge kind of played it behind Stephen Ward down the left because he was expecting a run and the run didn't come. The ball went straight into touch and I thought that is the exact moment where the whole crowd would have gone, oh, and there would have been a murmur and a collective sigh. And that does transmit to the players. That then creates a sort of an extra nervousness on the pitch and probably then creates an extra confidence in the opposition. And though, you know, that's where you get the subtle little momentum shifts in games. And football is as much about between the ears as it is ability on the pitch. And a lot of the listener comments you read out there talked about sort of this being a mental challenge now, a psychological block for Ipswich. And the similarities between last season, as you said, are eerie in terms of the way it's panning out so far. And I do think that this is as much mental about how Ipswich can deal with things mentally as the ability within the squad in these games going forwards.
And obviously, tomorrow is a massive game. We'll talk about that in due course. But like Roscoe says, not having fans at the Stadium of Light, again, it's going to be a plus, isn't it? Because Sunderland is a tough place to go. They're incredibly passionate about football there. You think that'll help Town in a way, Roscoe, tomorrow?
This dude's got something to say.
I was just going to say, I'm not sure away from home, because you can look at it that you can turn a home crowd against their team and create all those nerves that I just spoke about there. And I think Ipswich walking out at a big stadium like Sunderland at Stadium of Light can kind of raise your game a little bit as well. So I think the advantage comes at home. Strangely for Ipswich more than it does away at the moment.
Rossi, anything else to add? Because obviously we've got the highlight of any pod coming up next. It's the strike. What do you reckon? Should we get straight into the strike?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Hello and welcome to another edition of The Strike. Brought to you by the greatest quiz show host on planet Earth, producer Ross.
Right then, boys, let's get right into it. I think this is Stu's first strike for a while. He's been away. It's been just you and Hutchie been the last few weeks.
You wouldn't have heard it, Stu, but last week's strike was an absolute shambles. Started with Ross coughing all over the intro, then having to go and answer his door. And then I can't remember. I think we ended up deciding it by the flavour of breakfast bar that he was eating at the time.
Yeah.
Which he then got wrong. It was an absolute shambles. Ross, I'm hoping this week is going to be better. So get on with it.
Yes. So blast from the past. Jay McEverly turns 35 today.
Jay McEverly.
Yeah.
Jay McEverly, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or James, his full name's James, but
yeah.
On Wikipedia it says Jay, so yeah. We're going with it. But yeah, he made 19 appearances and scored one goal for the Blues on loan from Blackburn, sorry. I don't know where Blackburn's coming from. in the 2005-06 season, that one goal, who did he score it against? It was a 3-1 home win. Was it Plymouth, Brighton, or Luton Town?
I'm going to say it was against Brighton.
Okay.
Plymouth.
It was Plymouth.
Shit. I wanted to say Plymouth. I should have said Plymouth.
Yeah. I was actually at that game. So.
Young Roscoe.
Yeah, very young. I was 2006. Yeah, I was 10 years old.
All right. So,
Yeah. Well, this man, for Town Flashback, he's definitely not 10 years old. He's 34 today, and it's Connor Salmon. He celebrates his birthday this week. Now, he's still playing, still kicking the ball about, still scoring one goal in 20 appearances, just like he did for Town.
Prolific, yeah.
So now, which Scottish club is he currently at? Is it Motherwell, Falkirk, or Kilmarnock?
Kilmarnock.
Okay.
Motherwell.
You're both wrong. It's Falkirk.
Oh, I feel like a proper mug. I'd just like to say, I can't believe that Connor Salmon is younger than Jay McEverly. Connor Salmon's one of those people who looks like he's been 45 forever.
Yeah, pretty
anyway.
Yeah.
1-0 Stew. Is this the last question?
Yeah, but we have got a tiebreaker just in case you do get...
Come on, get back in it, come on.
Yeah. So, numbers game. How many times have Town won at Sunderland in 26 games?
You go first, give me a chance.
In 26 games, Ipswich have won 8 times.
I think they've won 7 times.
It's 7, bang on.
Yes, come on.
And there we go. There's a tiebreaker.
Tiebreaker time. Please don't be the flavour of biscuit you're eating.
No, it's about Ollie Hawkins.
Good.
So, he'll be facing his former club, Portsmouth, in the FA.
Mm-hmm.
What a boring tie that's going to be.
Oh, Jesus,
We could have got Maldon and Tiptree or King's Lynn, but we get Portsmouth.
I know.
Yeah. How many goals did he score for Pompey in 96 games?
I don't think he was particularly prolific. Mm. So in 96 games, I think he got 15 goals.
Okay.
I'm going to be that guy. I'm going to say 16.
It's 18.
Oh, dear.
Stu makes his return with a win. And his prize...
is
the cherry... breakfast bar that I had last week.
Regurgitated.
Yeah.
Ross actually, as I say, managed to get the flavour of it wrong, despite the fact he was looking at the packet as he asked the question. He got the wrong flavour.
No, on the packet, it doesn't say the flavour. I had to go and get the box.
Ah, okay. All right.
Cherry. So...
And we just bailed out, Stu. There was no winner from last week's strike. Everyone was a loser.
Yeah. That should be the catchphrase of the strike, I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, we get Barry to come in the room. He played for Chelmsford on the weekend, so he's just getting himself relaxed from that. So, Barry, take it away, my friend.
Hi, guys. Barry Cotter here. That was another edition of The Strike with producer Ross. Tune in next week for another edition of The Great Quiz Show.
Cheers, Baz. And pay your royalties for that soon.
He's a top lad, isn't he? Yeah. So he's playing now and he's still got time to come and outro the strike. Top lad, Barry Cotter. Well, boys, Sunderland. Let's talk more in depth about Sunderland. It's a huge game. I mean, obviously, in football, hyperbole is a massive thing. But this really is a big game. You get the feeling this could be one of the key games for Town this season. If they can get some sort of result, it would be that mental hurdle perhaps overcome and maybe we'd have liftoff. Stewie, Sunderland, what are your first thoughts on this game? What would you do with the size? You alluded earlier to kind of lightweight, very, very flair-packed midfield, but a bit lightweight perhaps. Is there anything that Town can do to change that at Sunderland? They're going to need a bit of bite at Sunderland, aren't they?
Yeah, but there's not huge options to do that. And when you talked about the difference between last season and this, is that I think the main difference is that the injuries were still to come for Ipswich at this time last year. Norwood, KVY, those injuries didn't happen till beyond this point, where hopefully the difference this year is that Ipswich are in their kind of injury moment now and that there are key players to return. But in terms of freshening it up, my concerns are that Dazel is playing every minute of every game at the moment, and there will come a point where perhaps his performances start to dip. I think we've seen a little bit of that so far without it being dramatic, but there's no sort of obvious option for change with him. Bishop, they've got to be very careful with. As I say, I thought he was their biggest creative spark on Saturday. Can he keep going Saturday, Tuesday, given his injury pass? They've already sort of rested him on the odd occasion so far this season. So there's not massive options for change in central midfield. Emir Hughes is the only one, and I think there's probably a good chance that he will come in for a second game in quick succession. But I wouldn't necessarily call Emir Hughes a midfield enforcer, despite the fact that he's obviously sort of bigger physically. Further forward, we talked about how Jackson did well when he came off the bench. I can't imagine that he'll start. And then you could freshen up the wide areas with Bennett's and Lancaster are obviously the two options there. So I think it will be a sort of a two or three at max kind of freshen up job rather than wholesale changes.
Roscoe, what would you do?
I agree with Stu, to be fair. There's not much really I'll change, really. As I said, Hughes is not really an enforcer, is he? He's taller than maybe the rest of those players, but he's not that strong, really, is he? Going forward, I think he does add things sometimes, going forward. But he's had a bit of a... I don't know, he's not had the greatest start to the season. It's just good that he's still fit and he's playing games, which is good to see. But yeah, there's not really much I'll change, really. I don't really know much about Sunderland's sort of their system. I don't know what they sort of play. Hopefully, you know, Lambert and co will know about that, so they know better than me.
You'd hope so.
Yeah. But no, I'll probably keep the same. Jackson, maybe too early for him to start. But as Stu said, I thought he was very lively when he came off the bench against Crewe. So maybe give him maybe some more minutes, maybe against Sunderland. If we're not finding that goal yet, maybe go with two up front, possibly. Because I don't think Jackson's very good by himself, definitely against a side like Sunderland. I think he will be very isolated if he's by himself. So maybe we could see a Hawkins and Jackson little partnership in the second half, possibly.
I'd like to see that at some point. Yeah. That would be a real sort of throwback to a big man and a quick man playing off of him at some point. I know we talked about how we really want the system to stay the same and there needs to be some consistency this year, but that is probably their plan B option at the moment, Ipswich. Not necessarily from the start, but as you say, Jackson alongside Hawkins in a more of a 4-4-2 would be interesting to see at some point. But I mean, you talked about what Sunderland do. They're very much a back three team, whether it's a kind of a 3-4-3 or more of a 3-5-2. But it's a back three. It's wing backs essentially. So how Ipswich do against that will be interesting with their system. But my fear is that the Sunderland squad looks more able to cope with this fixture schedule at the moment. You look at their sort of they've got a front four options of O'Brien, Danny Graham, Wyke, Will Griggs, not played a great deal of football. So immediately they've got those four all fit compared to we've just talked about Ipswich's kind of lack of options up front, being, you know, is a semi-fit Caden Jackson ready to come back in. Midfield, Gooch, Leadbitter, Scowen, Dobson, Power. So that they can comfortably make a couple of changes in central midfield, whereas with Ipswich, we've just been saying, you're kind of scratching around for options there. So for what will be another quick-fire game and a long journey, that's my concern heading into this game, that Ipswich, that Sunderland have kind of got the greater resources to be able to deal with this game.
And you spoke to Stephen Ward this morning, didn't you, Stu? How's he feeling about the game?
Yeah, looking forward to it. You know, he said he'd been watching the Sunderland documentary during lockdown, like everybody else. He's, Aidan McGeady is one of his good friends from the Island setup, who was obviously sort of heavily involved in that documentary. So just said all the things that you'd expect him to say, really, that, yes, it's a big game. And when it's Ipswich versus Sunderland in League One, and bit of an acid test for the team, but ultimately it comes back to the old cliches of every game's a big game, and the prize is always the same at the end of it, of 3 points, and that was that, really. But no, he just sort of praised the character of the team, really, in much the same that we said, you know, accepted that they weren't at their best on Saturday, but found a way to win the game, and that, you know, throughout the course of a season, you're not always going to be able to impose your own style on other teams, and on those sort of days, you find a different way to win. They did that Saturday, but being able to do it against Crewe, as opposed to playing against one of the bigger sides that will, you won't imagine, take some of those chances that Crewe weren't able to take, that's the difference between the top sides, that they are more ruthless and more clinical. So, looking forward to it. Looking forward to this one.
Just take a few more thoughts from the Carey Army. Trevor Wallace says it's a big test. Personally, I'd give Hughes a run instead of Judge. Edwards on the left for Sears. Bennett's or Lancaster on the right. Hawkins with Jackson replacing him at circa 70 minutes would be my choice. Keep the back four the same if they're all fit. Christian Davis says Tuesday's game is a huge test for this team, but traits of last season are starting to resurface. Harry Butcher, friend of the show, man with the arrow, says Tuesday is massive in shouty capitals. We all agree with that. Sindre Eliasson, our Viking friend, will get murdered by better teams with that midfield. Downs is the missing piece in the jigsaw. Coventry away last season, he and Dizelle played together in a 4-2-3-1 with Nolan advanced. Replace him with Judgy or Bish, and we've got a team there. Nigel G, still struggling to make the opposition keeper work, often slow counter-attacking and not creating enough clear chances. Why do other teams seem to be much quicker when attacking us? There's more direct passing and the ball is in the danger area. A couple more. Joe Fares, we're a better team than we were last year, but that is a team that we're averaging 1 point per game for 25 games or so. Are we good enough for the top six? Ask again in a couple of weeks. I should, of course, say that both Joe and Nigel are friends of the show. Joe is La Decima, whereas Nigel G is NHS Hero. Hashtag thank you for your service. And finally, Skylard, everything falls apart on a long enough timeline. We're playing badly and winning. By that logic, we are marginally better side. So maybe it's better to ask if we are just underachieving less this season than last season. Should mention, obviously, I've said that Sunderland won't have fans in the stands, and they won't, but there will be Sunderland fans in the stadium, bizarrely. They're doing this thing where, like a lot of teams are doing, Norwich included, where they're screening the game, but only in suites where you can't see the pitch. So the game is going on literally just the other side of the wall, but you can't look at it. You've got to watch it in an enclosed suite. Which seems bizarre to me, but there you go. And I think Town are looking at doing something similar, aren't they, Stu?
They're looking into it. It's by no means a definite, but, you know, obviously all clubs are looking at ways that they can kind of maximise their income in these difficult times. It does seem crazy that you can sit indoors with the blinds down, watching it on a telly in a confined space and not be set outside. Spaced out nicely, and I guess the government's argument there is it's more about how people get to the games and how they might mingle outside the stadium, but surely they can come up with sort of staggered entry times and ways around that, I would imagine. There we go. Can I? I just wrote down a line that I heard in one of your KOA readouts just then. One of them was everything falls apart on a long enough timeline. That's dark, isn't it? Like, that makes me want to just sit and stare at the corner of the room. And given the current circumstances, what's the point in anything? It's all going to fall apart anyway.
It's very nihilistic, isn't it?
Yeah.
Everything dies eventually, etc.
Exactly. Yeah.
What is the point? Right then, it's predictions time, boys. Rostradamus, I'm going to start with you. What are you saying? Town at Sunderland tomorrow. What do you think the score is going to be?
Ooh. I'll take a point before the game kicks off. On the go.
A draw would be a great result.
Yeah. We haven't drawn yet this season, have we? It's been a defeat or a win, isn't it?
No, they drew with MK Dons, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh, my bad. My bad. I should know that. I'm going to go with a draw this time as well. I want to go 1-1. Oh, no. Actually, I'm going to go Desmond. 2-2. Why not?
Oh, 2-2. What a game that would be.
Yeah.
Stewie, a point. Am I right in saying a point would be a tremendous result, or am I being too pessimistic there?
I think it's good, obviously a good result. Every point's a prisoner, and I wouldn't bother getting on the coach now if you offered me a point. Words of Mr. McCarthy ringing in our ears. It's a tough game, but Sunderland, I know they've only lost one league game so far, but they'll be feeling the same pressures as Ipswich this season. They left it late to get a win at Gillingham. At the weekend, they drew 2-2 with Rochdale in the game before that. So it's not an impossible task for Ipswich by any stretch. And I think they can get a draw. Yeah, I'll go for a 1-1.
1-1. There you go then. So both boys going for a draw. Ross 2-2, Desmond's and Stewie 1-1. Let's hope they do get a point, because that would be a tremendous result. And hopefully they can get a point there. It might be lift off for the rest of the season. We should also mention, of course, you just mentioned to the ghost of Christmas past there, Stewie, Mick McCarthy. Ross, what's the name of the Cypriot side that Mick McCarthy is now the manager of?
I actually don't know.
Oh, that's a shame. I wanted to get a classic Ross pronunciation. Big Mick is back in football, Stewie, at Apol Nicosia in Cyprus, which I don't think anyone would have predicted. But
good for him. I love the idea of Mick just saying to his wife, come on then, let's go over to Cyprus until all this blows over. It's a bit like going to the Winchester.
Yeah.
And just waiting for COVID to all blow over. Let's go to Cyprus, get a bit of sun on our backs during the winter.
Yeah.
This can't harm his CV in any way, because you can come back from a place like Cyprus and just go, oh, the owners were mental and the standard's rubbish. And yeah, as much as I'm looking forward to seeing him return to English football, which I'm sure he will at some point, by the way, I don't begrudge Mick having a little spell out in Cyprus for a few months.
You can see him absolutely loving it on the beach, can't you? Just lying there with a big grin on his face. Nice.
He'll come back looking very bronzed and leathery.
Indeed. Now then, Roscoe, we should also mention the ladies, of course, who played over the weekend, and they beat old rivals Norwich. Was it the FA Cup game, wasn't it?
Yes.
What was the score? Who scored?
It was 3-1. Eloise King opened the scoring. Then Sophie Pescott made it 2-0. And then Paige Peake with another free kick. She loves scoring free kicks. She's a defender, a centre-half. And she's, honestly, these free kicks are just, they're better than Luke Garbutt's. I'll tell you that now.
What?
They are. Honestly, you could do a highlight reel of all of her free kicks she scored. It's
wow.
Just, Norwich equalised. They got a goal back in the second half. But this game was very flat. It wasn't that great. It was a very windy game. Very windy. Luckily, it didn't rain, though, so I didn't get wet for two games in a row, which is good.
Yeah, otherwise you definitely have the sniffles today.
Yes.
Who have the ladies got in the next round of the FA Cup? And what round is it? Is it the first round proper now?
Yeah, first round proper. The draw is happening today, and the type of thing is very much up in the air with the lockdown and all that. So we don't know yet. It's not been confirmed if they can continue, but we'll wait and see, really.
Yeah, wait and see on that. Obviously, a lot of it looks like a lot of the non-league in Suffolk is going to have to stop, and I guess the ladies would be under that umbrella, wouldn't they? Being not classed as elite, I would imagine. So we'll have to see what happens with that. Obviously, Bojo going to make more of a statement today. We shall see. All locked down, of course, from Thursday. My gym's closing, boys. That's terrible news. We should also mention before we go, boys, the Wembley 2000 documentary, which went out, premiered last Wednesday, 7 o'clock, and has had a tremendous response. I think we're currently 11,000, 12,000 views and counting. If you haven't watched that yet, please do go and watch it, because I genuinely think it's the best Ipswich Town related film there's ever been, if you discount Escape to Victory, obviously. What have you boys watched it? I've got a couple of days off later this week, and I'm going to sit and watch it in its entirety on a proper TV, because I feel it needs to be watched on a proper TV. Stewie, have you sat down and watched it?
I'm the same as you. I haven't been able to kind of give it my full attention. I've watched a lot of it during its production process, because I was privileged enough to obviously have Andy kind of telling me about the bits and pieces that were falling into place, and he was showing me little clips. For those that haven't seen it, I'd seen the Marcus Stewart clip at the end, which is quite emotional, which has got people going. It's the best piece of... Andy's not here, so I can blow plenty of smoke up his backside, because I know he'd feel uncomfortable hearing the praise while he's here. But it's the best piece of content that we've produced for many a year, and it's I'm really pleased that people have enjoyed it, because Andy's put a lot of effort into that over the last year or so, in difficult circumstances as well. So I'm pleased it all came together. And I'm really pleased everyone's loving it, because it's really quality.
It is indeed. Go and watch that if you haven't. We've had so many nice messages from people, ex-players as well, saying it brought a tear to their eye, fans and players alike. Boys, anything else to mention before we take our leave and get on with the day? Start looking ahead to Sunderland?
No. No other business.
Are you sure? You don't sound sure.
No other business.
No other business from Stu. Roscoe, anything to mention?
Nah, all done. Thank you for listening.
Roscoe out. All that leaves us to say then is just make sure you subscribe on your various podcast providers. Leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, because it helps us a lot in the visibility in the charts. And also follow us on all our social medias, YouTube, which is where you can see that film. Kings of Anger on YouTube, Twitter, Instagram and Facebook. Ipswich Town have won 2 games in a row. Tomorrow we get to find out, though, if this side really is a side that we can get behind and really push towards promotion this season, or is it all going to go tits up like it did last season? We're going to find out, hopefully, more tomorrow. Enjoy the game if you're watching it. Let's hope that Town at least get a draw and a win. Wow, how good would that be? That would be tremendous. Have a great Monday. Have a great Tuesday until the game, and we'll speak to you again later this week.
From true crime to football, Brexit to folklore, for more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.
Luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.